unfortunately. But praise the Lord, she's in the Lord's hands. We know that much. All right, folks, let's stand for our final hymn tonight. That would be 257, hymn 257. And what a blessing to know this deep, deep truth. How simple, yet how profound this truth is of this song. It says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Oh boy, that's deep theology. Amen? That's what we need. Glory to God. 257, and we're going to sing the first, the fourth, and the fifth. Praise the Lord. Yes, indeed.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Seated, church. Oh, glory to God that these ladies are here. We were about to send out the search party. Didn't get lost, did you? Oh, good, good. Offering plate has already been passed, so if either of you ladies have an offering, see Carl. All right, praise the Lord. And the rest of you, grab your Bibles tonight. We will sing again after, of course. And we come tonight back to our studies in the book of Revelation on the tribulation period. The tribulation period, part 15, week 15 tonight, moving right along. And we've been looking at the events of the second half of the tribulation. The events of the final 3.5 year period known as the Great Tribulation. And as we're turning to chapter 16 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. We praise the Lord that we're moving right along in the book. And we're moving closer and closer to the sound of the rapture, the trumpet, the blowing the trumpet for the rapture. So glad of that. But last week we saw, beloved, the prelude to the final 42 months in chapter 15. Remember that in chapter 15 is a prelude. And in that prelude, we had the saints in heaven singing the song of Moses, a song of deliverance, and the song of the Lamb, a song of redemption. Look at chapter 15. chapter 15, and look at verse 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, notice we saw last week in these final verses of chapter 15 in the prelude that the seven angels are given the seven vials, which contain the seven final plagues upon mankind, which will take place during the last 42 months. Now, as they prepare to come to earth and pour out those vials of the wrath of God, in verse 8 we find that the temple in heaven, which is the true temple, the eternal temple, everything on earth was just a figure of the true which is in heaven. But that true temple in heaven was so filled with the Shekinah glory of God that none of the saints in heaven or the angels could enter into the temple in heaven. You see that in verse 8? Until, look what it says. It says, and no man was able to enter into the temple in heaven, not on earth, till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. That means that for 42 months, that temple in heaven, where the Shekinah glory of God is steaming, and the wrath of God is fuming, and the fire is coming out of his nostrils, and planet earth is being squashed by the King of Kings, no one is allowed into that temple. Why? Because it's not a time of mercy, folks. It's a time of God's wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. Now, that brings us to chapter 16 and the final 42 months found under the plagues of the seven vials that the seven angels hold. Look with me in chapter 16, remain seated, and we're going to cover tonight verses 1 through 11. We'll go to 16:11. Amen? Because after verse 11, you have from verse 12 onward. I said from verse 12 onward in the book of Revelation, you have what we call the second advent. And for those of you who are listening on the website, when we're done with these studies of the second half of the tribulation period, you'll want to click on the series on the website called The Second Coming. That would be your next, if you're studying the book chronologically with us. All right, here in chapter 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Oh, beloved, as we come to these incredible verses concerning the first five vial plagues. Now, remember, the sixth and the seventh vial plagues come under the series on the second coming. That's why we're not looking. We've already studied the sixth and seventh vial judgments under the second coming series. So we're going up until the fifth vial judgment in this series, which only considers the tribulation period itself. Now, first of all, here we have the pouring out of the full, undiluted wrath of God upon impenitent men with the seven vial judgments, commonly called the bowl judgments. We have the first five vial judgments in verses 1 through 11, because the sixth and seventh, of course, have to do with the second coming of Messiah, which are fully covered under that series. Now, let's begin. First of all, we have the first vial judgment. Look at verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple, that's the temple in heaven, saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, notice here, church, that the first vial judgment is clearly directed at affecting only those who have received the mark of the beast in fulfillment of chapter 14, verse 9. Go back to chapter 14. Look at verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the what?
Wrath
of God. They are the target of the wrath of God in the second half, which is poured out, vile judgments, without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he or she shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment. The there of verse 11 is the those who receive the mark in verse 9. Ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now clearly, this first plague, the first vial judgment, is directed against those who have received the mark of the beast. Now, the reason I say that is because the indication here is that many, many souls on planet Earth at this time will be alive and not worship the beast and not receive his mark and not bow down to his image. Okay? Those are true believers during the Great Tribulation. Most of them will be martyred. The remnant of Israel will be there. They will not receive the mark. They will not worship the beast. So this plague is not against believers. It's against unbelievers, okay? Now, look at verse number 12 of chapter 14. Verse number 12 in chapter 14. Here is the patience of the, what?
Saints.
Oh, they're saints. They're saints at this time. Look at it. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Yes, there will be people who are true believers at that time, and they will be saints. They will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep his word. That's the remnant spoken of in verse 12. Then notice the result of this first vial judgment in verse 2 of chapter 16. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous what? Sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, this grievous sore is grievous because it will be some type of skin ulcer or malignancy that will cause great pain upon the skin. Go to Job chapter 2. Hold your place in Revelation. We're coming right back. I want to show you someone who had this condition. And in this book of Job, we have a picture of the seven-year tribulation period. Isn't that amazing? 42 chapters in the book of Job. How many months in the Great Tribulation? Oh yeah, 42. 42, right? Now look in Job chapter 2. And look with me at verse 4. And Satan answered in the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hands, but save his life. The Lord gives Satan permission to afflict Job physically, but he can't kill him. God said, you can't kill him. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot under the crown. And verse 8, he took a potsherd, that's a piece of pottery, to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Here's Job. His whole body is full of sores, and pus is coming out of them. He takes a piece of pottery and begins to scrape the pus out of those sores. Imagine the pain! Ladies don't like that, but it's true. This is what the people during the second half of the tribulation period will experience from head to toe. A grievous sore, just like Job had. Secondly, we have the second vile judgment. Look at it. Revelation 16. Look at verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. And it, the sea, salt water, became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Now, under the second trumpet judgment, remember the second trumpet judgment in Revelation chapter 8? One third of all sea life were killed. But here, everything in oceanic life dies. Go back to Revelation chapter 8. Hold your place again in 16. In Revelation 8, look at verse 7. This was the third trumpet judgment, okay? Look at it. I'm sorry, this was the second trumpet judgment. Look at verse number 7. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up. And all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel, that's the second trumpet judgment, sounded. And as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. That's the salt water. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. So under the second trumpet judgment, one third of all oceanic life died. But here in chapter 16, the rest of them are dead. Notice that. You know what that means? Think with me. If all of those who are surviving on fish during the last half of the 7 years now suddenly have no food to eat because they refused the mark of the beast. They were fishing to eat, right? Now there's no fish to catch. Now they're really desperate, but they won't take the mark. Most of them won't take the mark. Suddenly they have no food to eat. Starvation ensues. People are dying of starvation. Cannibalism, I believe, will be occurring at this time. It's a time of judgment, folks. Thirdly, we have the third vile judgment. Look at verse 4 of chapter 16. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters. That's fresh water. And they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Beloved, here, whereas the third trumpet judgment killed one third of all freshwater life, so here the third vile judgment destroys all freshwater supplies worldwide. It's universal. And observe, along with the third vile judgment, there are two divine declarations issued. First, notice in verse 5, the angel of the waters declares the righteousness of God in this judgment. Look at that in verse 5. I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art what?
Righteous,
O Lord. Thou art righteous. Listen to me, beloved. These horrific plagues taking place on planet Earth where people are dying in mass is a righteous thing. Hear what I said? How do I know that? Because my Bible says that God is righteous to do this. You have to develop the mentality of God. We have to get out of our own little box and our own four walls and see that divine judgment is a righteous thing in the eyes of God. And everything he does is right. We know that. He's just and right in all his actions. Look at it. Verse 6 gives you the reason why. For they have shed the blood of saints. Yeah, by the millions. Imagine how many heads will be rolling at that time. My goodness, man. And thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Oh, yeah. Since these Christ-rejecting beast worshippers have martyred tribulation believers by the multitude, God gives them blood to drink, literally. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Hold your place again in Galatians chapter 6. Here's a powerful verse. Wow. In Galatians chapter 6, look with me at verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He says that what you do will come back on your own head. You see that? Why? Because God is not mocked. And whatever a man sows, he's going to reap the same one day. Whether it's in this life or the next, you're going to get it. It's not worth transgressing against the God that we serve, believe me. Now, look here. Secondly, we have a second divine declaration. They shed blood, God gives them blood to drink. You see that? They're reaping what they sow. Secondly, we have another divine declaration issued in verse 7 from the altar in heaven, further affirming that God is wholly righteous in these judgments of wrath upon men. Look at it, verse 7. I heard another angel out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. True and righteous are thy judgments. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Hold your place in Revelation. Here is a most powerful passage concerning what will happen to those who refuse to listen to God. Proverbs chapter 1. Did you know that God has a breaking point? You don't want to cross it. Because when God's breaking point is passed, there's literally hell to pay. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. This is God speaking. Amen? Not Solomon. Verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Because of that, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. It's coming. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your what?
Destruction.
Destruction cometh as a whirlwind. There's a tribulation period right there, folks. And when distress and anguish cometh upon you, tribulation. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. It's too late. They've received the mark of the beast, and God will not hear them. Look at it. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. They've crossed a point of no return. They can't be saved, folks. For why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They chose Antichrist. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. God says you've got two options only. You can either listen to me and be saved, or you can reject my counsel and be damned. There is no purgatory. There is no neutral ground. There is no imprisonment until you're good enough. No way. You've got this life and this alone to receive Jesus Christ. Now, there's coming a day when indeed God will mock at these beast worshippers during the great tribulation, the last 42 months. Fourthly, back to our text, Revelation 16, we have the fourth vial judgment in verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Anybody catching these newscasts about the sunspots, the eruptions, the solar flares, they call them? They're expecting a mighty big one, a doozy, shortly. And if this one is directed toward planet Earth when it blows, it's going to knock out our entire grid in America. We're going black. We're going black. And you know, we had a blackout last week, 2 weeks ago from that storm. And, you know, we were out for a couple of days. It was no big deal. But it was a big deal. It was, you know, you can't cook, you can't get any news, you can't get on, you know, post sermons online. It's rough. It's rough not having electricity, isn't it? Well, imagine, look what he says here in verse number 8. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. That sun can either be your best friend or your worst enemy. That sun is extremely dangerous. Amen? That thing could kill us all like that. Oh, yeah. Look at it. And the power was given unto him, the angel, to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now, whereas the fourth trumpet judgment affected the sun by destroying one-third of its light, go to Revelation 8 again. Let's see that before we go on. Revelation 8, look at verse 12. And the fourth angel, trumpet judgment, sounded his trumpet, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. That's 8 hours less sunlight. And the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So here we have in the fourth trumpet judgment, one-third of the sunlight being affected. But here in the fourth vial judgment, the entire light source is affected by the sun increasing its temperature to the point of totally scorching men. Listen, what's that Bain de Soleil? That suntan lotion will not help you. You're going to be scorched if you're here on planet Earth during this time. Totally scorching. You know, anybody ever been burnt? Let me show you a scar on my arm. I was burnt badly. When I was a welder back in the day, and I was out of work for 4 months with this, my whole arm, you can see the scar tissue, it was all burnt like this, second and third degree burns. And, well, actually, it's healed pretty good, but you can still see it's like scrambled eggs. That's because I was burnt. And my shirt caught fire underneath my welding leathers. Some of you guys will know what I'm talking about. And I was out of work for 4 months with that. It was horrific pain. Imagine your whole body being burnt like that. Oh, my goodness. It is burns. I'd rather be cut than burnt. I don't know about you. I'd rather, you know, be hit than burnt. I hate burns. Oh, but look at this. And they're being scorched. And notice in verse 9 that mankind will recognize the source of this judgment as coming from God. But instead of turning to him in faith, they will blaspheme his holy name with rage. Look at that in verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed or blamed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Some people are their own worst enemies. No matter what you do, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to go the way they want to go, no matter what God says. Or their mother, or their wife, or their husband, or their daughter. Whatever it might be. They've got their own mind set and you can't convince them elsewise. You know what? God will convince them. When these plagues are poured out. Okay, fifthly, we have the fifth, almost done. The fifth vial judgment in verse 10. And verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Who's the beast? Antichrist. And his kingdom. Time out, church, before we continue to read. How far does Antichrist's kingdom extend at this point of the tribulation period?
Worldwide.
That's right, Tim. Second half, remember the first half, you had 10 kings. Not anymore. He's in charge of everything now. He's got the whole world. He's got the whole world under his kingdom and dominion. Look at it. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom, which is universal, was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. It's a darkness that can be felt. And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And repented not of their deeds. By the way, their sores are still there. From verse 2, the second plague, the first plague. The sores are still covering their bodies. They didn't get rid of them. So they got sores and they're also now being burnt. And now they got pain from the darkness. Wow. Beloved, notice first. The fourth universal blackout occurs in verse 10. Verse 10 says, and his kingdom was full, that means worldwide, of what?
Darkness.
This is the fourth of five universal worldwide blackouts that will all occur during the seven-year tribulation period. There's five universal blackouts. This is the fourth. There's another one yet to come. The third blackout, remember, took place under the fifth trumpet judgment. Go to chapter 9. Let's see the third universal blackout. In chapter 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, that's trumpet, the fifth trumpet judgment, right? And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. They make Mount St. Helens look like a baby. This one. Wow. Because it's going to affect the whole earth, people. Look at it. And the sun and the air were what? Darkened. Darkened. By reason of the smoke of the pit. Listen, you will not be able to see your hand in front of your face. In broad daylight. You won't, because the whole world is darkened by reason of the soot and the smoke and the smoke that comes up out of this pit, the bottomless pit. Wow.
People are actually going to survive this?
Yeah, it's amazing. Some people are going to go alive into the millennial kingdom after the 7 years is over. Isn't that amazing? Some who had not received the mark will be alive. And that's where you have what we call the judgment of the nations. Matthew chapter 25 is the judgment of the nations. That's not the great white throne judgment. The judgment of the nations, listen folks, is to determine who individually, not nationally, who individually will be allowed to enter the millennial kingdom for how they treated the Jews during the tribulation period. Okay, that can be found in great detail in the series on the second coming. Now, here we have the fourth vial judgment, here we have the fourth trumpet judgment, where the sun was darkened. Notice the result of this darkness back in chapter 16. Look at verse 10. In chapter 16, look at verse 10 again. He says, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." What? Pain being caused by darkness? Wow. Folks, did you know that darkness can cause pain? Go with me to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. This gross darkness, you say, how can it cause pain? There's only one way. If in that darkness there are demons tormenting you. Do you hear what I said? In the midst of that darkness there are demonic elements torturing men. Look at it. In Exodus chapter 10. I want to show you something here. In Exodus chapter 10, you know we have the plagues of Moses upon the Egyptians. You know that. Look at verse 21. "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be what?
Darkness
over the land of Egypt. Even darkness which may be what? Felt. Pain. Torture. It hurts." This is no ordinary darkness, folks, because along with this darkness, there's a demonic element. And they hurt the victims. Look at verse number 22. "And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." I love it. You know what you got? This world is full of darkness, but you got light. Yeah. You got light. I like going to Colin Carroll's. You know why? The light shining. The light shining. Amen? I like going to June's and Franny's and Timmy's. The light shining, Esther's. The light shining. You got light that the world doesn't have. They're in darkness. And verse 21 says, even darkness which may be felt. It may be felt. Whoa. Finally, back to... Sorry,
Can the demons hurt the Christians, like
didn't
take the mark?
No. No, those Christians during the tribulation period are going to have divine protection. Though, many of them will be martyred. Okay? But as far as the demons go, in Jesus' name, you can rebuke them just like we do now. But, unfortunately, many of those believers that are here during the tribulation period will be captured by the Antichrist armies and martyred. But they'll go right to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. Back to, look at chapter 11. Back to Revelation. Notice verse 11 of chapter 16. 16:11, I like that. 16:11. And they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented? Not of their deeds. They still won't repent. What do you have to do to some people? Go back with me to chapter 11. I want to show you another group of folks from the first half of the tribulation period that also refused to repent. In chapter 11, look at verse number 20. I'm sorry, go to chapter 9. Go to chapter 9 and verse number 20. There we go. Verse number 20, we read, "And the rest of their men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils." Shouldn't do that. "And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication." Notice how those three things are coupled together there? Those three sins are grouped together. "Nor of their thefts." They would not repent even during the tribulation period when the wrath of God is coming down. What am I saying? I'm saying that some people will never learn. Sadly. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the study on the second half of the tribulation period known as Great Tribulation. Lord, how we thank you that it's coming. It is coming. And sadly, there are multitudes, I might say even billions, who will experience these plagues. Lord, it ought not to be that way. No human being should suffer this wrath of God. They should all call upon Jesus Christ and be saved today before it's too late. But they won't. They won't, because many of them are their own worst enemies. They refuse to repent. The Bible says they repented not of their sorceries, of their fornications, of their drug addictions, of their Ouija boards, of their witchcraft, of their occultism, of their New Age movement, of their false religion. They repent not. They repent not. They believe not the Word of God. The only truth this world has today, the Word of God. Oh Lord, how horrifying it is to think of the masses of humanity that will endure the wrath of God at that time. We thank you tonight for the truth of the Word, Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals. And we'll finish up tonight with 244. Here is exactly how they need to come to the Lord in these last days, just as they are. "Come just as I am," that's what the song says, "and let him do the sin cleansing and the redeeming and the sanctifying and the regenerating by his Spirit. Glory to God." Don't need the Pope for that. Don't need no priest. You need the High Priest, Jesus Christ. 244, let's stand and we'll sing 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. Amen.
Just as I ever will, clean by the hand of blood was shed for me, and that
Amen. That's how we need to come, just as we are. Let Him do the cleansing. Praise the Lord. Tonight, folks, we're going to do something a little different in closing. I want to gather around Brother Timmy.